Hello and welcome to Megashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. This podcast is a tribute to our fantastic fellow professionals, colleagues and friends. I'm Charu Raisada and this podcast is brought to you in association with Digitales. If you are a PR professional working with either a PR firm or as part of the corporate communications team or in marketing communications, then tune in every week for insights and stay abreast with industry trends. For alerts and new episodes, follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or any other listening platform of choice. There's little doubt that communication plays a critical role in social change. It not only facilitates the process of sharing information with others, but also plays an important role in strengthening relationships. Organizations are increasingly recognizing the potential of greater cooperation with the social sector to achieve positive change, and companies are seeing the benefits of engagement with civil society and NGOs for a strategic approach to development. And this is where communicators can step in to bring alive the ground reality, shine the spotlight on problems, suggest solutions, and bring people together to facilitate change. Our guest today on Megashira talks about the power of collaborations for a better India. Allow me to introduce the co-founder of the Catalyst Group and chief integrator of the COVID Action Collab, Shiv Kumar. Shiv is a social investor who's passionate about solving complex social problems and improving the health and wealth of vulnerable communities. Shiv has dedicated 30 years working on social development in India and internationally. He's passionate about communities, collaboratives, institutions, human behavior, partnerships, technology, and governance. Stay with me on Megashira.
Hi, Shiv. Welcome to Megashira. Thank you for making the time to talk to us today. I'm going to start by asking you to tell us a little about your journey and what you do at the Catalyst Foundation.
Hey, Charu, great to be here. Thank you for including me in your podcast. And always a joy to talk to people of the similar wavelength, doing similar things in the social sector. I began my journey in social development, joining a cooperative, oil seeds cooperative called Karnataka Oil Seeds Federation. Started out in systems and planning because I'm a techie by, training and also a MBA from Institute of Rural Management. And then on Catalyst Foundation and the Catalyst Group, I really started off in 1994. It's been an interesting 28-year-old journey where I'm the co-founder along with Raghunathan, my friend, philosopher, mentor, guide and colleague. We've been in the social sphere, trying many things, failing many times, but succeeding a few times in, I would say, largely in the sectors of livelihoods, health and climate change.
You know, there's this old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So clearly, collaboration is one of the single biggest drivers of growth, and more so in the social sector. And I believe you have put together a full manual on the power of collaborations. What will be your topmost tips for leveraging collaboration, especially between the social and the corporate sector?
I don't know whether everybody will agree with that, African proverb that if you want to go far, go together. Some would actually argue saying that if you want to go far, go alone. But if you want to go to the right place, go together. That's what I would, adapt that.
Adapt the saying, yeah.
The saying, right? I think, and if you want to be joyous and actually go deeper, go together. So, our journey of collaboration, again, like in all social development, is a lot of discovery, but definitely we saw ourselves as an organization for a long time, and we understood the difference between an organization and an institution is truly being sector-facing, right? Not necessarily boundaried by your own organization and its rules and its structure. And once you open your mind to a more institutional format, as much as vague it sounds, then you are actually not looking at only your success through your own lens, but actually looking at the community's success or the partner's success. And that's where the journey gets really interesting, because when your metrics is candy metrics, like how many staff you have, many offices, what's your turnover, I call it candy because it's truly candy. It tastes nice, easy to consume, easy to burn, yeah. but truly not useful. But if you want a corny side of it, if you want a millet indicator, right, then how much of money have you added to the community's pockets? How much of the partner's success have you been able to contribute to? So that's what drives us. And once we started walking down this journey, partnership is automatic, right? It's not partnership on how I can do better. It's about partnership of how the partner and that outcome in the social sector can be better. So that's been the philosophy behind some of our approaches.
Okay. So, but, you know, when it comes to the corporate specifically, they're always fall short. And, you know, very interestingly, what you mentioned about it, you're in the space of realm of livelihood and climate change, and you've been championing the cause of circular economy and whole lot of stuff. Where can the corporate sector come together to collaborate with the Catalyst Foundation?
See, firstly, I and my colleague Raghu and the entire Catalyst group believes in a couple of broad philosophies. The commitment of facilitators who work in social development, the reach and power of the state, and the dynamism and entrepreneurship of the private sector. Are all three very critical elements in success of social development programs. And therefore, I wouldn't say private sector falls short or does better, because there are examples for both, Charu. And that's true for government, and that's true for the civil society too. There are some like sterling examples, and there are fantastic failures. So the way I look at it is private sector has a phenomenal role to play. And it's extremely dynamic, driven with its own purpose. It can be profit making, not necessarily a problem that I see, but profit making at what cost is always the question. And therefore, if private sector energy, dynamism and entrepreneurship and innovation is tapped into to solving social problems, that is one pathway. And I think there are some great examples, right? You know, I can share with you, like the Apollo tires, when they opened clinics for the truck drivers, who at one point in time had a very high prevalence of HIV. It is a classic case. And today I'm told that many of the drivers prefer JK tires because they knew this company cared for them. So that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, you know, companies like Airtel, who are connecting people all the time, right? Or a Vodafone or many other telecom companies, they actually are delivering social good because they're connecting people through low-cost data and connectivity. But can they do that in a different way? Can they particularly help marginalization reduce? People who are vulnerable become better? I think that's a question for them to look at. In my business model, how can I address some of the needs of these communities? So these are two broad pathways I have seen, and some great examples of those exist.
No, absolutely. I think the point you make about reach and power of the state and the private sector is a beautiful point. And yes, I mean, companies have actually gone down and understood what are the problems at the grassroots, and have come up with programs together with organizations like you to solve that particular problem. I think those are truly are committed to the social good. I'm going to, as offshoot of that question, is going to be like nonprofits, they need funding, but they also need programming and strong networks to maximize their impact. So how can communicators and social enterprise platforms like Catalyst Group or other not-for-profits working at the grassroots collaborate for better awareness and impact? A lot of it is happening, yes, and you have given some examples, but there is a lot to be desired. What are the gaps? Where can they do better?
This is something we've struggled with ourselves, and we continue to struggle with. And I would divide it into four areas, right? Fundamentally, at a behavioral level and a capacity level, there are challenges. Social sector, particularly actors who've been around doing this kind of a deep work, are very coy about communication. It's a lot of middle class values of, I shouldn't be talking about my work. It's not humble. Mm-hmm. It's not something I should do. The others talk about it, that's okay. Like, and I put it as coyness, probably that's not the right word to choose. It's humility which drives them to do what they do, but it also comes in the way of communication.
Right.
And therefore, there's a lot of reluctance. And that, and I'm telling you that that existed with me also for a long time and probably still exists in some level. You know, why am I talking about my work? You know, isn't it very arrogant? The second big challenge is actual capability to communicate, right? We are very, in many senses, social sector is inward looking. It's busy. It's got very little funding. It's undercapitalized severely. And therefore, we are all scrambling for getting things done, what was to be done yesterday. And therefore, investing sufficiently in capabilities of communication and actually building it out a strategic area is actually quite a, we lack in that. So that is where, now what is the opportunity for communicators to come in here? Is to understand this, first of all, that this coyness and capability challenge exists, not just judge the social sector that it doesn't know how to communicate, but understand that there are barriers to communication, which includes our own sense of self when it comes to communication, right? Now, what are the two ways in which communicators can engage? One is, I think social sector needs to communicate with its own audience much better, right? With the people that we seek to make their lives better. And it's not just stopping using the word beneficiary and starting using the word catalyst. It's much more than that. Communities have the right to know what we do, why we do, how we do it. And we need to communicate to do better designs of programs for the communities. So there is a communication upward to the communities, and there's a communication downwards to donors and policymakers and others. And I think, you know, both areas require support.
This makes me think about the fact that, you know, it's not about being immodest or not being humble if you're going to talk about your work, but it's more about spreading awareness. Because we've seen in the last few years, the more people are coming forward and talking, you have, it's like a chain, you have more people joining that, right? So yes, I think there are a lot of opportunities and there are things people, one needs to do together. And you made a very interesting point that communicators need to understand the challenges, the barriers, and be a little more conscious about those things. So some of the challenges faced by nonprofits are pretty much similar to those faced by startups around access to capital and funding, talent acquisition, retention, as well as proving their competitive advantage. Yet they do not seem to get the same level of support both from the government and the private sector. So how are you addressing some of these challenges?
I will jump into that, answering that question, Charu, because you used a very crucial word which you keep hearing, social sector, right? Lack of awareness. If I may, with your permission, dwell on it for a couple of minutes.
No,
or
please.
A couple of seconds.
Absolutely. Please.
I think, you know, there is a banning culture now. So I would propose banning the word awareness. I don't think people are not aware. People know about certain things, not know about certain things. That is not actually the question here. You know, generally we tend to, urbanites particularly, tend to say, oh, people lack awareness. That's why they don't use toilets or they don't use, you know, menstrual hygiene products. That's not true. Most of the time, it's not awareness which actually leads to behavior change. So there is a causal link problem there, right? Awareness alone that you need to wear a helmet, it will save your life, does not necessarily mean people wear helmet. And I think, you know, there is a severe poverty among many, you know, social sector funders and people who are in the power structure on the higher level, policymakers, to keep saying people lack awareness. To me, I would say the person saying that lacks the awareness and the patience to understand the context in which the person is behaving in a certain way. So, yes, in some cases, there may be a lack of knowledge, but it's usually, in my opinion, that's not the biggest challenge. Knowledge can be easily provided. But awareness does not change behavior. Awareness does not create change, right? And that's something I just want to park with you, because I know your audience is a lot of communicators, and they need to be very careful when they use this word awareness. Are they aware that other person is actually lacking awareness? Yeah. So sorry about that.
No, absolutely. You're right. I think this makes sense. Yeah.
Now, coming to why startups get so much of attention, and while the problems, as you rightly said, look similar, I think there is a sexiness about startups, right? Shark tanks, somebody saying, oh, I can drill a tunnel in one day, or, I have this magic solution to, cure diabetes. I think there is a natural attraction in today's world for quick fixes. And startups seem to appeal to that quick fix extremely well. And it's about, magical quick solutions for problems, right? Now, that's okay. I mean, some problems do get solved through startups, whether it's Swiggy, for example, the fact that you want to eat where you want to is a great startup idea. But not all startups in social sector work the same way, right? Because we are dealing with complex problems. B, everybody wants what you call as elevator pitch. And my colleague Raghu puts it across nicely. If you have only 2 minutes to listen to the problem of a child who's unable to go to school and why, I don't think my time is worth it to explain it to you. Give me 20 minutes so that you can get educated on the problem and the solutions. So complex problems are not very easy for people to understand. And sob stories put people off. And social sector sometimes can be blamed for that. And that's how sometimes money is being raised, right, by showing a crying child or a cancer patient. So there is very little patience to look at the complex problems, patiently understand it, and then solve it. I mean, this is classic, right? There are lots of donors who say, oh, why are people peeing in the road? We'll build toilets. Now, how many of those toilets have really worked? Now, look at what Sulabh did, right? The person is from the community of toilet cleaners, and he built a social enterprise, which has now scaled across the country and has toilets which are maintained and which have water and other facilities in it. And that's the big difference. I think social sector requires patience because of the complex problems we are solving and long-term problems. And it's not as sexy as a startup is.
More and more people need to come together and think that way. So your last question is, I mean, any tips you want to share, especially for the communication fraternity, especially for marketers, how they could collaborate better to be able to take some of this to the audiences out there?
Thanks, Charu. I think, again, thanks for this opportunity. I think it's, this is a world I would love to communicate to more. Let's step back and look at what's happening around us. The media business model has collapsed.
Yeah.
And that has led to the entire, what the media folks used to be called as the fourth sector? The fifth sector? I'm sorry, I'm losing the
number.
The
fourth sector, yes, I think, yes.
The fourth sector. And the third sector was actually civil society.
Yeah.
And to me, the fourth sector collapse is a tragedy because independent voices need to give independent views, even about the social sector projects, not just government or politics or economics. I think that vacuum is also an opportunity. As News Laundry and many others are trying to reinvent the whole media space through independent reporting.
Right.
And also ground up funding for these, which by the way, is how civil society is also operated through donations, right? Individual donations.
Right.
I think, interestingly, media is moving down civil society route. And therefore, my sense of an opportunity, which I've been reasonably good in spotting, is the fact that communities can actually be now journalists. And the media, both the mainstream media and others, need to readjust their methodologies, because today a mobile phone has become a powerful medium of journalism. And therefore, storytelling, truthing some of the realities on the ground, providing alternative perspectives, and actually allowing the viewers to take decisions, I think is the crying need of the day, Charu. And I think there are millions of youth and women and men out there who need a network through which they can start telling their story. And we need a cogent pipeline of amazing communicators like you to put it all together in a platform so that, you know, it's all newsworthy in that sense, not just bad news.
Yeah.
So I think there's a beautiful opportunity waiting to happen. And I'm seeing some bubbling ideas in that sphere. And I do hope you and some of the people listening to this are already doing something about this.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on Megashira. Very interesting points. And I think we need to together collaborate and imbibe some of this and take it to the ground. Thanks a lot. Pleasure having you, Shiv, on Megashira.
Thank you, Charu. It's a very, very rare opportunity that I get to talk to communicators who I feel have been underleveraged in the social sector. Thanks for this opportunity, and I do hope I through your channel, I can talk to more people who would love to collab with us and with both of us too.
Thank you, Shiv.
Hope you enjoy listening to Megashira, a podcast for communication folks. Do share your suggestions and feedback on Megashira at digitales.co.in. Have a great week ahead, and do not forget to tune in next week. Adios.